All right, welcome in, everybody. It's over. The dream is over for the United States men's national team, at least as far as this year's World Cup goes. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long from the Associated Press. Fat Tony here with you, and it's a good thing, Mark, Tony's partial to the Velcro laces anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't have a whole lot of work to do. He's not going to string himself up today. How devastated were you? Did you give up at 2-0? Was the late goal almost bitter in that it gave you new hope only to have your guts ripped out once
again?
Look,
they played like banshees for the last 15 minutes. But look, 2-0, yeah, I mean, it was pretty much done at that point, especially with what they had shown offensively to that point in that game. Look, you knew when it got to extra time, it felt like for the last 5-10 minutes of regulation that USA was pushing to try to get that goal, because there's no way they were going to be able to withstand the assault for another 30 minutes. I mean, it wasn't going to happen. Tim Howard was amazing in that game yesterday. You can only stand up for so long with those quality of shots coming at you, and finally one got passed, and then it opened up a little bit.
All right, I'm going to be at risk of sounding crazy ignorant, because the extent of the soccer I've watched this year have been the four United States games played in the World Cup.
You're a disappointment.
Well, that's just who I am. I'm not a big soccer guy. What can I tell you?
Well, I've had it
get
all
on the bandwagon. Get on the bandwagon.
When we were in the studio, and Mike knows this, I would turn on soccer pretty much every day. I mean, if it was on, I turned on whatever game
it would, and I would generally mock you.
Yes, you would. That's fine.
To some degree or another, because it would be some Bundesliga match or
if it's
or
on, I'm watching.
I don't know. But my question is, I understand at the end of 90 minutes, you're going for it, like you said, that way you can steal the game right there. It doesn't matter if you've been outplayed.
Yep.
Once you get into those extra 30 minutes, should you consider going ultra conservative, thinking that, you know what, if we get the penalty kicks, we have the greatest goalie in the world right now, and is there anything more important than a hot goalie in soccer, in hockey, in sports like that in that situation?
Well, I think PKs are less about the goalie and more about the nerves of the guys taking the kicks.
The nerves of the guys.
Honestly, it's easy to make a PK. It's less about the talent of the goalie. It's about the guy putting it in the right spot. I think.
Well, if he guesses right.
Sure.
It's a lock.
But you're talking about, we knew for 2 minutes what the strategy was going to be for the USA in that extra time before a goal got scored. So we don't really know if the idea was, let's just survive the 30. We didn't have long enough to figure out what the plan was, because they scored so quickly when we got to that point in the game. And then the USA did have to open up, and as soon as they did, Belgium got another good opportunity, put it away. Now it's 2-0.
It is interesting, because I coached little kids in soccer, and we're so not advanced tactically, you know what I mean? Like, you get one good kid, and you tell him go out there and dominate everybody else. That's been my strategy, Mark, and I find it highly effective. But I'm watching these guys for Belgium come up the wing, right, and they get a run out.
Yep.
And it's like the defender doesn't run all the way back with them. It's almost like, I'm going to play it to a certain angle, and from that point beyond, it's the goalie's responsibility. And the one they eventually scored on, the first one they scored on, I felt that was happening, and you'd seen it a couple of other times, and they were able to withstand it. But it just seemed like they're almost giving them an angle to take on the goalie one-on-one, so to speak, and I wondered if they were putting too much on Tim Howard. But again, speaking from sheer ignorance, Mark Long, what say you?
They are indeed taking away an angle and taking away the cross there and making them go wide and take that shot that way. I mean, that's kind of what they're doing there. But there's no question that the USA defense, you know, kind of messed up on both of those goals. What's the guy you like? I don't like.
I like Matt Beisler.
I
thought he played great. The one mistake he made led to the goal.
Both mistakes he made led to both goals, because he also, you know, was marking. I don't know what's the Belgian the sub guy.
De Bruyne.
No, the sub who scored.
The sub who scored
the second goal.
Ikaku or whatever his name is.
Yeah, that you know, that was also
that big mofo
Beisler. So. The bottom line is those guys were outmatched all day.
Yep.
And it could have been 8-0, you know, and this Tim Howard, you know, kept them in that game, but the defense was what we expected. Listen, all the talk going into this tournament was that UF central defense was U.S. U.S. I did say U.S.
They did a little bit
US
better
central
than that
defense,
squad.
U.S. central defense was, inexperienced, too inexperienced and not good enough to win this thing, and it showed up. I mean, it, you know, it was you know, they played poorly. Jeff Cameron played poorly at one time. They just made mistakes that you can't make at that level.
Can I tell the story of Lauren Brooks, angry soccer fan from yesterday that you told me this morning? Is it all right to?
You can absolutely tell that story.
Why don't you tell it? Tell us what happened yesterday. Where were you watching the game yesterday?
I was at a place in Avondale.
A local establishment.
A local establishment in Avondale, and having a good time. And
look at
then
you, Avondale.
What'd you say?
I said, look at you, Avondale.
Well, it was like only my second foray into Avondale, so It's treating me well so far. I like it a lot. Got to see, by the way, some of the people that I gave shout-outs to who did not hear their shout-outs the first time, but they're not getting another one.
They're off the shout-out list.
They're
now
off the shout-out list, is right. So I was using the restroom in between the regular regulation time and extra time, and this girl kind of cut in front of me, and I said, okay, that's fine, no worries. She must have to go more than I do.
I will cut you.
and then
that's
I said,
what did you just say?
Right, no, that's not usually who I am. More that's more you and like the 50 Cent connection. But so I said, you know, thank God for our goalkeeper Tim Howard. And she says to me, by the way, I hope she's not listening, even though I don't know her. She said, no, his name is Michael Bradley. And I was like, okay, now I don't know which direction to go. So I said, actually, I think it's Tim Howard. And she's like, I'm pretty sure it's Michael Bradley.
Oh,
and
no.
So then I broke down and I said, sweetie, Michael Bradley is the bald-headed guy running around in the middle of the field. They call him a midfielder. And then she went to the bathroom, and that was the end.
Yeah, and then you hit her over the head.
That part did not happen.
Michael Bradley's the guy who had a couple good passes, but for the most part couldn't control the ball in the midfield.
Right. He played better yesterday, I thought, though.
He was better. A little bit better.
He was better. But look, that's what they're missing. That's really what this USA team is missing, is somebody in the midfield that can control the game, which is why everybody that we play that has those guys that have that skill level, it's like, wow, that looks easy. Like, possession looks easy for everybody else in this tournament, but the USA, every time we get it, it's like a panicked little kid on the ball as soon as they get any kind of pressure. And Michael Bradley, as talented as he is, he's not at that world-class level yet. Hopefully he will be in 4 years, because he's certainly part of this
team's
future.
Which goes back to why Landon Donovan should have made the squad.
Probably, yeah.
And one of the things today we want to know, now that I got one tweet immediately after the game that said something to the effect of, the only good thing about the United States men's national team going out is now I don't have to hear about soccer anymore on 1010XL. And the facts of the matter are, you probably won't hear much more about it now that the United States men's national team is done. But today, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question of the day asks you simply that. Now that the United States has been eliminated, is the World Cup over for you? How much more World Cup will you watch? And I'll be honest with you, it's not like I avoid soccer, like, oh, it's terrible, I can't see that. It's not like when the WNBA comes on my television and I change the channel as quickly as possible. But I'm not going to go out of my way to watch another single minute of it. That's me.
Sure.
You'll watch it all.
I'm going to watch every moment that I can.
Mark Long?
I'll watch not as much as Tony, but a considerable amount.
A good amount. You'll make a point to watch, like, the final match?
Oh, yeah. I've watched everything I could get my hands on. And countries I couldn't name a single player on the team.
What made you a soccer fan?
Well, I played soccer as a little kid.
Okay.
And
well,
so I grew up playing soccer.
How old are you?
40-ish.
40. All right, well, I mean, we're close to the same age.
Yeah.
I played soccer a little as a kid too, but you know, and I don't. It'll be interesting to see, because I've coached these kids in soccer for like 5 years now, and a lot of them I can see staying on in soccer, but a lot of them already are like, well, I don't know if I'm going to play next year. I'm going to play football. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the other thing. And that's kind of how it was when we were kids. You played soccer to give you something to do, to let your motor skills catch up with playing baseball and some of the other stuff out there.
Well, and, you know, if, like, I didn't come from a privileged family or whatever. Soccer was an easy sport to play. It was very inexpensive. You played at the Boys and Girls Club. They've got the two soccer nets, and that's it. You need a ball. That's it. You know, throw on a uniform. You know, baseball is a little bit more expensive, especially when you get to travel ball era. You know, basketball, football can be relatively inexpensive too. But there are some sports, obviously golf. I play a lot of golf now, but I didn't play any golf until I was about 18 years old.
Yeah, me either.
And it shows. Yeah, it's just not a sport that, you know, you can go play inexpensively. Same thing goes probably for tennis, though I think you could play tennis probably at a rec court pretty easily. But if you're going to try to play competitively, you know, it's a lot more expensive than probably competitive soccer.
Right, I'm with you. All right.
By the way, one quick question.
Yes.
Going back to this match, I had a friend text me in the middle of this thing, or in extra time, saying that after they scored, made it 2-1, said that if the U.S. was to win this, it would be bigger than the Miracle on Ice.
No.
No, because of the political implications of what was
exactly
going on with the
Cold
Miracle
War.
On Ice.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a bigger upset for Team USA to win a World Cup than it was
to win
for
an entire.
That was a huge upset.
There are Russian, there are 10 countries that are Russia compared to the USA on that ice. I mean, seriously,
right?
In the World Cup,
but I think the United States soccer team is so much further professionalized compared to those hockey players. Were like,
no,
if you took a bunch of college soccer guys right now and represented the United States as the national
team. I get
team.
That, but I think the talent level with that U.S. team compared to what was going on with that Russia team is the same way that it is basically with USA against Germany and against Brazil and against Argentina and apparently against Belgium. I mean, there are 10 or 11 teams that I think it is that kind of uphill battle for the USA to win a game against them, and they'd have to do it four times to win a World Cup. Instead of one.
Yeah, everybody talks about you got to have the best athletes don't play soccer. You know, they go into other sports. But we have how many hundreds of millions of people in the United States? How many people does Belgium have, right? We should be able to take the last 10%
yeah.
of our athletes and find the equivalent amount of athletes that Belgium has.
I disagree with that sentiment, by the way.
Why?
Because I don't think that it's an athleticism thing. I think it's the first
Skill.
Touch that we have. Right. If you watch our first touch, it's not nearly as good as the other countries.
Here we go.
We lose the ball.
What these other
right.
countries do, it's instinct.
No, I get it.
Correct.
It's
play
their,
it long
it's their game
here.
That they grow and all yeah. that. But you do hear that if we took Mike Vick when he was young and made him a soccer player, he'd be the greatest soccer player in the world. Maybe he would be, maybe he wouldn't be.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know if he has the skill set to specifically play soccer. I mean,
you can't tell me De Bruyne is the greatest athlete in
no.
the world.
No,
right? He's,
but
good,
exactly.
he's a good soccer player.
But again,
player.
He's been playing it since he was five, and that's all he's played.
That's all I'm telling you. Then 20 years from now, there are going to be some damn good soccer players in the United States of America. Because
Let's hope.
Those fields are packed. I've been doing it for like 5 years now, and I know nothing about it. I know just enough to hopefully help them get better for the next level. But
start
those
taking
fields
them
are
to college
packed
games.
Every Saturday morning.
I couldn't help but think when watching Lacuna, and who is the guy Lacuna came
Lacuna
in for?
Lacuna Matata.
Who also made a lot of good runs. Anyway,
and
then
the
big guy with the Boris head.
Fellaini, yeah.
Yeah, Fellaini. I couldn't help
sleeves.
But look at those guys and
it
think.
It is hot in Brazil.
I couldn't help but look at those guys and think those are the equivalent of U.S. basketball players.
Yep.
You know, guys with unbelievable size who have the ability to play soccer. I mean, imagine LeBron James.
Imagine Akeem Olajuwon, who was a soccer player.
Well,
I mean,
not even that. Not even that tall. But I mean, he's not whether Fellaini wasn't. It's not a 7-footer. But imagine a guy 6'6" or 6'4" with that kind of athleticism,
right.
Basketball type athleticism, on the pitch. You know,
with that instinctive basketball
and
that
using
been
his body,
sure.
Right?
And I mean, Lacana just bullied his way through the U.S. defense. You know, in the second half there and in extra time, and I couldn't help but think that. That's what's lacking in U.S. soccer. Now, listen, Altidore's a physical specimen, especially compared to the other U.S. players.
No doubt.
But I don't know that he matches up with some of those guys we saw on Belgium.
All right, well, you can weigh in on that today. How much more of the World Cup will you be watching? And we'll talk a little bit more about that. We got plenty of football to dig into today as well. We'll talk about the Hot 100s. Pete Prisco, Pat Kerwin of CBS Sports each put out their top 100 player rankings, which is an annual rite of passage in the summer, and we'll look at those. Both very Jaguar deficient, as you might imagine, but we'll just explain to you exactly how deficient. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. We'll get rolling here. Phone lines open to you all day at 641-1010. Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, hashtag Jaguars Today, hashtag Shut Up Randy. And it is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Do you know about Shut Up Randy? Were you here for that?
I think I heard this story last week.
You caught that last week? All right. It's Jaguars Today. Just getting rolling. Live from Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Let's see if I get a little clarity. What do I got here? Oh, this Doggy Dog World by Snoop Dogg. What are we going for here, guys? Early
The Underdog.
Is that it?
That is not it.
It's not Underdog. It's not a bad
guess. Good guess.
Certainly. Dog Eat Dog. Oh, I got it, Joey Chestnut.
Oh, is today the hot dog?
No, but it's this week,
the
right?
The 4th of July week.
Is that it?
That's not it, but those are really good guesses.
Oh,
really good.
That was awesome.
You're making my actual theme look really lame
this
right now.
Sucks.
Dog world.
The hot dog eating contest.
I should have just said yeah.
Great.
They should have gone with it.
That's it.
You should have gone with it and gone with the whole 4th of July theme.
That's amazing. I got to switch all the music now. All right, we'll figure it out as we go along. Today's musical theme. Snoop Dogg with Doggy Dogg World. It's Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today, of course, the lovely and talented Lauren Brooks. It's obligatory that we mention that as well. We've got a lot of interesting little things to chew on today from the National Football League. We'll get to Pete Prisco and Pat Kerwin's rankings of the top 100 players in the National Football League, neither list includes the Jacksonville Jaguar. I don't think that's surprising.
No.
Typically, in the last few years, when healthy, Maurice Jones-Drew is the one guy who would find himself included on these kind of lists.
Well, and I think Pete may have left Maurice off or had him way down one year, and it really upset Maurice.
Yes,
shockingly, it really upset Maurice, and it gave.
I heard you yesterday with Prime Time.
It's
so true.
I mean,
I love
Maurice, and you and I are both on Maurice's bandwagon for life, and I love the guy, but I know him well enough to know that he's basically full of crap.
Full of it.
I mean, completely full of it. And anything he says is, half of it he probably doesn't even believe. And he'll say something one day and then change his mind the next day. And so, that's who he is.
We've had 7 years, I'm guessing, roughly, of the backstory of why I wore number 32.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's because Terry Cousins wanted
too much money.
Grand for 21.
Listen, he could have gone to management, to Jack Del Rio. Jack Del Rio, who, total players guy, had nothing invested in Terry Cousin, surely could have made that number switch happen if Maurice really wanted it.
I would have, whatever number you had in mind, I would have at least thrown it out there. Maybe, once that guy goes that high, you're like, forget it, dude. That 10 grand I was willing to give you, not worth it. Because a number is worth something to you. And if it makes you feel more comfortable. I thought it was interesting. Tony and I talked about this a little bit earlier this week, Mark. Adrian Peterson, I went back and I had to Google this story. He wanted to switch his number back in 2012. And he was at the time a top 10 jersey seller with the number 28 in Minnesota. He wanted to be number 23, I guess. That's what he wore growing up. And they were switching from the Reebok to the Nike uniform. So he figured, well, I won't have to pay for all these Reebok uniforms. They're no longer the official deal, but part of the deal was you still had to buy up the surplus inventory. He was going to have to stroke a check for like $1 million to change his number. Now, he was a top 10 guy, so it was a lot in circulation, but his point was, I'm a top 10 seller. What do you think he made off having a top 10 jersey? Because you get a piece of the action for every one of your jerseys.
Probably not $1 million. Probably not as much as I would think.
10 grand.
Yeah.
He said, he didn't think he'd ever hit 10 grand in any given year, and he was top 10 in jersey sales. Nike, Reebok, whomever's got the deal is raking it in.
No question.
Pretty good deal.
Maybe the owners, who knows.
Yeah, but I can understand that because people were saying, well, why didn't Maurice just change his number after his rookie year? Well, you got to stroke a nice check, and when you're on a rookie contract as a second-round pick, you're not looking to drop that kind of cash.
No,
that was probably the smart way to go.
No question.
The other thing, Mike Sando of ESPN.
By the way, Maurice not on either list.
Not on either list. Not a surprise. I mean, he's had a couple of injury-plagued seasons, and his contention would be, yeah, but I was leading the league in rushing because I've seen him say it prior to getting hurt, which is true, but that was 2 years ago now. And he himself admits he doubted whether he has the drive, all this. But if you doubt him, forget it.
If you doubt him,
then you're
excommunicated for life.
That is.
He never forgets. By the way.
Oh, he doesn't.
Never forgets.
He doesn't.
You can ask Pete Prisco that. You can ask Paul Kaharsky that. You can ask anybody who has, even slightly slighted him over the years, and he will not forget. Vito Stellino. Maurice will go to his grave saying Vito bashed him year after year after year, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's, and part of it is it's self-motivation. You can say professional athletes shouldn't need that. They should be motivated anyway, and that's fine. But we all maybe should be motivated by the fact that we need to earn a living for our family. And sometimes you need a little something to, you know, I've got my my Crystalite energy drink. Maurice has got his
bag
delusional
of,
right yeah. things that
bag
people
of chips
said about
on
him.
His shoulder.
So Sando though did he ranked the quarterbacks by tiers? Is that
yes?
You got this four, up in front
I
of
do.
You.
He did a he basically ranked all quarterbacks, all 32 starting quarterbacks by tier: tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four.
Tier four
Jacksonville's,
being the worst, the
yes.
lowest. Okay.
Jacksonville's Chad Henne is near the top of tier four.
So and
that's
with,
somewhat
with
of a
the
win.
Likes of whom? Give
well,
us like the range.
Tier four is Matt Schaub for okay. the Oakland Raiders. Chad Henne, Jacksonville Jaguars. EJ Manuel, Buffalo Bills. Matt Cassel, Minnesota Vikings. Brian Hoyer, Cleveland Browns. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Houston Texans. Jake Locker, Tennessee Titans. Geno Smith, New York Jets.
You got that list upside down. Geno's at 32.
He's in there with guys who either haven't played a down for their team, are coming off injury, were benched, or just had horrible years last year.
If you were going into the future, I think you look at this list, you'd probably say, all right, give me EJ Manuel because he's got potential, and we haven't seen, you know, we may not have seen the best of EJ Manuel yet. Maybe you could argue that for Jake Locker as well.
Or Geno Smith,
he's,
maybe.
He, maybe, right? And I actually think Hoyer is interesting because he played very well. And have you seen these stories now? Like, Hoyer's representation doesn't want to take a deal, an extension. The Browns want to sign him, I guess, to be like their insurance policy, much like Henne will
sure.
be for Blake Bortles. But that Hoyer's like, no, we think we might be able to do better in free agency because if we get a chance to play some football this year, we're pretty confident in our abilities, which is interesting.
You admirable.
Got a guy, yeah, played three games and tore his knee up and
played well in those three games.
He's willing to roll the dice on his ability. Give us the top of the list. Who's
well, the top of the list is fairly predictable. Tier one is who you would expect. He has the top four guys tied, and that's Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees.
It's interesting. He has them tied, but he lists Brady first, right? I mean,
well,
you have to list somebody first. It's
well,
not
it's
alphabetical.
No, it's not. You're right.
It's not. So, though you're saying they're tied, you have to choose to list somebody first in that list. So my guess is, at gunpoint, he'd put Brady as his top quarterback in the National Football
Yeah,
game.
You're probably right. And then fifth is Andrew Luck. And then that's his tier one. That's it. Five quarterbacks in tier one. The four everyone expect. Plus Andrew Luck, which I don't know that that's a stretch.
I don't think it's a stretch with Andrew Luck. My question then would be, where is Russell Wilson? You know,
well, he's tier two. Tier two, and there are 10 quarterbacks in tier two. Phillip Rivers at the top, Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, Tony Romo, and Russell Wilson all tied for eighth, along with Eli Manning. And then there's a little drop to Joe Flacco, Matt Stafford, Colin Kaepernick, and Nick Foles round out
Nick
tier
Foles had
two.
A tremendous, tremendous statistical year last
Are
year.
Are you taking Nick Foles over Cam Newton? He's got Cam Newton in tier three.
I am
Are
probably
you taking
not. No.
Colin Kaepernick over Cam Newton? Are you taking Joe Flacco over Cam Newton? Eli Manning over Cam Newton?
I think I could take Kaepernick over Cam Newton.
I'm taking Cam Newton over a lot of those guys.
Are you not taking Russell Wilson over most of these guys? Tony and I debated like late in the season last year.
Yeah.
Kaepernick. I think it might have been the day. Was it right after the championship game?
It was right before or right after.
Something
it was
like that.
There.
We debated who would you rather have going forward if you're building a franchise, Kaepernick or Wilson. I was in the Kaepernick camp.
I'm in the Wilson camp.
Tony's in the Wilson camp. And I think more people would be in the Wilson
sure.
camp. I think those guys are relatively close. I think Kaepernick.
I think you also have to factor in the off the field. And Kaepernick's a little bit of a, he's a little bit of a roll of the dice off the field. You can't deny that.
Is he?
Sure.
Why?
What happened in Miami?
Yeah, what happened in Miami? But if
something happened in Miami.
If something happens.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
I don't know. I'm not going to hold against him something that none of us know what happened. In that situation, no charges were filed. He didn't get in any kind of trouble with the law. He's not getting pulled over for DUIs.
Who's more likely to get in trouble right now? In your mind.
Oh, come on.
Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick? Have you even heard of Russell Wilson?
That doesn't mean that Kaepernick's a bad guy. You can say who's more likely to get in trouble, Fat Tony or Mark Hall? I'm going to guess you.
Well, yeah.
Right? Just because Tony is a pretty much a straight edge.
And I'm not straight edge, and I'll be the first to admit that. as Johnny Manziel. I'm a little. I'm more Johnny Manziel than Russell Wilson.
So you're hanging with the Biebs.
I want to be Johnny Manziel, probably.
But I'm point. Look, first of all, and Tony thinks. I don't know what Tony thinks, but I would imagine Tony thinks because I bash Eli all the time. Tony knows how I am. I'm going to bash Eli. If Peyton Manning played quarterback for the Giants or Tom Brady, I'd do the same thing because it's just...
It's the Giants. You
know, it's just the way it is. We just have fun.
You're wired.
But you can't tell me... I mean, I know Eli's won the two Super Bowls, but how can you lump Eli Manning in right now with Russell Wilson? What NFL GM would in any way, shape, or form consider Eli Manning as good a choice or a better choice than Russell Wilson to have on their franchise, no matter what you had around them? I can't imagine it.
Right. Oh, I agree with you. Yeah.
You know, and to me, what makes Matt Ryan better than Russell Wilson? I don't know. Tell me one thing. Is he a better pocket passer? I mean, Russell Wilson seems to do fine, and when necessary, he rolls the pocket.
He's got enough arm.
He finds the passing lanes. He's super cool under pressure. You know, he's got that mobility. I thought something that was interesting this offseason, Earl Thomas talked about Terrell Pryor coming in. He's the backup now in Seattle. And he said, well, the great thing about him is I can see him as a defender. Oh, we always talk about how tough it is for Russell Wilson to see. And Earl Thomas is like, I can't get a read on this guy. I don't know when the ball's coming out because I can't see him back
over there. Yeah.
So it works kind of both ways. I think it's interesting that to me, after Luck on the list, I don't know anybody I'd necessarily take over Russell Wilson right now. In the National Football League. Is that saying too much?
I mean Philip listen, Rivers and Roethlisberger, it's hard to deny what they've done.
Ben's been pretty damn good.
What they've done and what they've done with or without talent around him. Listen, you say what you want about Rivers when he had Tomlinson and Gates at his prime and certainly Vincent Jackson, but those guys are all gone. You know, Gates is no longer the player he once was.
Right.
Vincent Jackson's long gone. LaDainian Tomlinson, long gone. His offensive line, which was once considered one of the best in the league, not quite the same. And Rivers still getting it done.
Never been a good postseason performer, though. I mean, that's got to be somewhat of a factor, because if you're going to bend credit, which you should, for being a pretty good, and people will argue, well, they won the first Super Bowl in spite of him. He wasn't
great. Only 9 of 23 or 9 of,
And that's fair, but he was, a rookie or second year?
Second year.
Second year guy at the time. I mean, he's since won a Super Bowl, led a game-winning drive to win a Super Bowl. And I think you could do a lot worse than Ben Roethlisberger.
No question.
As your quarterback.
No question.
So.
Well, that's, and again, I think those guys belong in the second tier. My question is, and I go back to this, how do you feel about Cam Newton? Cam Newton in the third tier to me is an unbelievable oversight.
Who does Cam Newton have to throw to?
Honestly. Who's he had to throw to?
Right. I mean, he's had a declining Steve Smith.
Yeah, he's been on
decline
every year.
And he's had an inconsistent Brandon LaFell. I mean, he's got a nice tight end in Greg Olsen, but.
But he hasn't had either of those guys for
I think his
accuracy
runs a little hot and cold, but I would take Cam Newton. Now, there's no question I would take Cam Newton as a franchise kind of guy to build my team around at this point in the National Football League.
And other
big smile or not.
Other guys other guys in the Tier 3 range, Jay Cutler, Alex Smith, Andy Dalton, RG3, Carson Palmer, Sam Bradford, Ryan Tannehill, Josh McCown.
Sam Bradford was actually playing very well last year.
Sam Bradford played really well last year.
Yeah, then he got hurt. It's funny though.
Josh McCown.
Short.
Career backup has a good
had
month.
A good 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And RG3.
He's really a more veteran version of Brian Hoyer. McCown.
Could be.
I think had a good little run. But had and never go back to the year prior to that when he had to play due to injuries. Horrific. He was terrible. Yeah. Now you got Marshall and Jeffrey there, and Trestman, who they call the quarterback whisperer, you know, coming in and getting this guy going. I mean, Tony, 2 years ago, Mike Tirico was telling us that Robert Griffin III was the best player in the National Football League.
He was certainly among the most exciting.
It's just how much you've done for me lately.
Sure.
You know, that
unbelievable roller coaster in the NFL.
A year ago, Philip Rivers wouldn't have sniffed the sixth spot. On that list.
No way.
He was having a terrible season. All right. So, interesting stuff. But,
A year ago, Philip Rivers was Eli Manning right now. I mean, that was the kind of season he was coming off
of.
Where it was just turnover, 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 turnover. Can this guy turn it around?
You can't ignore what Eli did in those. Eli wasn't the game manager that happened to coattail a couple Super Bowls. He played great in the postseason.
He did.
And so there's a big reason they won those two Super Bowls. But damn, will he lose you some games. I mean, but unlike Tony Romo, he does have the postseason success.
He
so
does.
You want to weigh in on that, you're certainly welcome to 641-1010. We'll take a look at Pete Prisco and Pat Kerwin's top 100 players in the National Football League, which team has the most stacked roster, and which Jaguars may have just missed the cut. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, whether that's in your home, your business, even industrial plumbing, septic systems, restaurant, grease trap service. They offer that and a lot more. Head to MetroRooter.com for a full list of services. Same day service, by the way, Saturday and Sunday included in that. The right people with the right equipment. What else would you want out of a company? Serving Jacksonville very well since 1978. Talking about Metro Rooter, 695-1911. Don't want you to have plumbing issues, but if you call Metro Rooter, you'll get them solved if you have them. 695-1911 and MetroRooter.com on the web. 641-1010, our number here. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long from the Associated Press, along with Fat Tony. We're going to get to these top 100 lists of Pete Prisco and Pat Kerwin that they released on CBSSports.com. Before we go on, as a guy with a foot in both the collegiate and the professional worlds for you, covering both the University of Florida and the Jacksonville Jaguars, what do you make of the Aaron Hernandez calendar flap story this week? Much ado about nothing, an embarrassment. How do you characterize
it? I think it's an absolute embarrassment for the University of Florida. I don't see how. I get what they're saying. Listen, this is not their, it's out of their control. They sign off on the pictures more than a year ago, and it's a third-party company handling it. I get all that. It's still your name on it. And the University of Florida went to great lengths to remove Aaron Hernandez from the, you know, from in the stadium, from in the locker room. They pulled up his plaque, his All-American plaque from out front of the stadium there. They went to great lengths. I have a hard time believing that of all the people, some really brilliant minds in that building, I have a hard time believing that somebody wouldn't have thought or could have, should have thought that, by the way, we also signed off on Aaron Hernandez being in the 2014-2015 calendar.
Yeah, I heard, maybe it was Dan and Jeff talking about it this morning. I heard somewhere this morning that the Patriots may have done the same thing, included him in their 2014 calendar, and did not. You would think that organization as well. Same thing, you know, because they didn't even wait for the process to play out. That's it. He's gone. He's out of here. We're not going to pay him another penny, which, you know, whether that's within their rights or not will be determined. But you would think they'd be a little bit more on the ball in terms of not including him in the calendar. But I guess it's an issue.
And, you know, maybe it's something that slipped through the cracks. You know, I'm starting to try to think, well, you know, if I was in that position, would I think, well, you know, the calendar, would I, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's something that you could see where it would slip through the cracks, but I feel like there's enough people in that, at the University of Florida and in the New England Patriots, that it's something they somebody should have thought of.
Especially in the National Football League, they're so image conscious.
Absolutely. Well, the University of Florida
everything.
Is image conscious,
you think?
Too. Yeah.
A little bit. But, you know, the NFL may have mastered it when it comes to spin control in the sports world, at least. But regardless, taking a look, Aaron Hernandez likely would have made some top 100 lists had he continued to play and
no
keep
question.
Himself on the correct side of the legal line. But
did Gronk make the list?
You know what? It's a good question. I don't know.
Just a guy who didn't really play last year. I wonder.
A bunch of Patriots on Kerwin. Kerwin has six Patriots on his list. Let me see if I can find Gronk.
I'll bet he did.
In there. Gronk, to me, is a guy that if he plays, is, you know, no question a top 100 player.
But is it, you know, is it a list based on, yeah, he's number 24. On Pete's list.
He's 54 on Kerwin's. He said health is what keeps him out of the top 25. I think that's fair. When he's healthy, he's a beast.
I think when he's healthy,
he's better than Jimmy Graham.
Top 10
personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, borderline top 10 guy in the National Football League. Matchup nightmare. And neither guy has a Jaguar in the list of the top 100.
Not surprising.
Not surprising at all. Who do you think would be now for Pete? He said who.
I think we should.
Should we throw it out
there?
Yeah,
I think we should. Well, people could look it up.
People can look. It's not like it's a trivia question.
I think we should.
Put it this way. Think about it for a couple minutes. We won't tell you for a couple minutes. And think about who would be the guy that would be the closest to making the cut if he were, you know, among the Jacksonville Jaguars. You asked me this question. I hadn't seen Pete's list. And my first couple of guesses were off the mark.
No, and you had very good guesses. Your first guess was defensive tackle Sandarek Marks. Very good guy.
Because I know Pete mentioned him in an article earlier in the week. He does the annual overrated and underrated player on each team. He had Zane Beatles, he thought was the most overrated Jaguar.
Yeah.
Based on
he thought Beatles was a weak link in Denver last year for that line. So
some people agree with that assessment, others don't.
Right.
You know, and that's what makes the world go round. I mean, Pete talks to guys around the National Football League, and if the guys you trust are saying, this is what I think about the guy, and his own evaluation of him, you're going to tend to think that way. I'm sure you can get, the other opinion on Zane Beatles as well, as one of the more sought-after guys. And Sandarek Marks was the most underrated Jaguar on his list.
And then, so you guessed Sandarek, and it was wrong. And then your second guess was, I think, a popular guess, which is Paul Posluszny.
Paul Posluszny, right? Because he had probably the best year of his career, I thought, last
year. Yeah, he played well.
He was an alternate to the Pro Bowl. So.
And did not make the list. And then I think you guessed Brian Anger after that.
I don't believe I guessed Brian Anger. I should have led with that, though.
Brian Anger did not make the list either. But I don't know. Well, yeah, so I don't know if you got any. I don't even know who else would be.
This was
a surprising, unbelievably surprising, just missed.
And who player. He put was Jonathan Cyprien.
Safety,
and he's projecting
safety.
Him
was a rookie last year.
You know, to make a big leap this year. But I mean, look, we all hope Sip is going to be a beast. Is he close to being a top 100 player in the National Football League right now? I don't think so, personally. And does he have the potential to one day be on there?
Sure.
Absolutely. But that seems like a big projection to say right now. You may say, I think a year from now, he's going to be borderline top 100. I think it's hard to say right now Jonathan Cyprien is close to being a top 100 player in the National Football League, for me,
Correct. Anyway.
And,
you know, and who knows? I don't know that there. I don't know that Pete ever feels pressured by anybody. Pete likes to do his own thing. But you know, there might have been some pressure from Pete to put a New York Giant on the list.
Well, who did he put in the can't miss along with Cyprien?
Just missed.
Yeah, the just
Cliff
missed.
Avril, Eddie Lacy.
He was Cliff Avril though.
Dominic Rogers Cromartie, Kyle Williams, a Giants corner or Giants defensive tackle.
No, the Bills defensive tackle, Kyle Williams.
Giants cornerback, Dominic Rogers.
Yeah, they just signed
Frank
him.
Gore, Terrell Suggs, DeMarco Murray, Sean Lee. Some very, very good and established players,
by the way.
Did
he have a Raider anywhere in there? Did I miss a Raider?
No, I don't think he has a Raider. I don't think he has a Raider, by the way. In the
Raiders, Jags, and Giants are the three teams that
one in the top 100, right.
Right.
And so he has a Giant and a Jag in the just miss, but he did not have a Raider in the just.
He's got Alteron Verner on there, who had a great year last year with Tennessee, signed that free agent deal with the Tampa Bay Bucks. DeMarco Murray on the can't miss, or the just miss, I keep saying can't miss.
Yeah.
Maybe the most interesting thing, other than the fact, but we've known for years, Pizza Peyton Manning guy, right?
In the
Manning versus Brady debate, he's clearly on the Manning side. I've always been on the Brady side. I just feel like, given the same weapons, you'd see the same eye-popping numbers. When he had those weapons, you saw those eye-popping numbers when he had Randy Moss and Wes Welker and Dante Stallworth all, you know, in their primes up in New England, and was just as good statistically. But he goes with Manning over Brady. Kerwin goes with Brady over Manning. But they both go with Patrick Peterson over Richard Sherman.
Yeah, that one raised eyebrows around the league a little bit. Because, I mean, most people think that right now, Sherman's a better cornerback.
By acclamation. I mean, and that's the thing. You know, I stay away from trying to determine who the best offensive tackles are.
Sure.
Right? Because I can't tell you. I'm going to go with what the consensus is more than, and assume that some of those guys are watching the film and they know what they're talking about, but I'm
who
not.
Who is it right now? Joe Thomas?
He's
Russell
among them.
Russell Okung?
Who's the kid out in Dwayne Brown in Houston hurt last year, right? But he's highly thought of. Oh, the guy in Philly. Who's their left tackle up in Philly? Tony. Who am I thinking of? Jason Peters.
Yeah, Peters.
Jason Peters among the better offense. Either way, I can't tell you. You know, I can't slide a piece of paper between them. I don't know what the difference is between all those guys. But Richard Sherman has become, in part by his own self-promotion, but also his play on the field, his stats back it up. He's been a ball hawk who doesn't get the ball thrown his way all that much. People avoid him, and yet he still racks up big interception totals, so he makes the most of his opportunities. But both of these guys went with Peterson. They think he's more versatile. They think that Sherman's a great fit for that scheme that Seattle's running, but wouldn't necessarily be a great standalone guy, at least on the level of Patrick Peterson, if he were in some different kind of scheme. Is that what you took away from it?
Yeah, no question. And again, Peterson hasn't been paid yet, right? He hasn't gotten his contract. He's next, right?
Isn't that the general consensus? Next, yeah.
That he's the guy who's going to get...
I don't think he has gotten the deal.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I don't know if this is true. Maybe Tony can look this up for me. But the guys this morning were talking about this a little bit. Robert Quinn, defensive end for St. Louis Rams, number 4 on Pete's list. And was he taking just a few spots behind Blaine Gabbert?
Yeah, he was. I thought.
He was a risk, though. Remember, he had missed his last year at North Carolina. He got swept up in all that. He got suspended.
He did. He got swept up in that academics.
But people talked about his talent at the time. I remember when he came out, people said, well, you know, the raw ability is there for him to be one of the better defensive ends. Now, Pete also did a big feature on Robert Quinn earlier this year. So he spent some time with him. So I don't know how
Quinn
that
was taking 14 that year.
And Quinn was.
Gabbert went 10. Quinn went 14.
Right. That doesn't hurt you whatsoever, right? I mean,
that doesn't sting.
Pass rush has never been a position of need on this.
Well, 10. J.J. Watt was 11. Yeah. And then Robert Quinn, 14.
And then if the Jags would have set tight at 18, they could have had, or 16.
Does he have Watt ahead of Quinn? Because I do think, even though Robert Quinn statistically was off the charts last year. I think J.J. Watt's the best defensive player. I think you can make an argument. In fact, last year, I told you I did this for Pro Football Talk. I got to be the one who represented Jacksonville and doing the top 50.
Yeah.
We had to vote for our top 50. They put together a top 100 list. And last year, I had Rodgers at the top spot, Aaron Rodgers. And if he's healthy, I'd still take him over any of the quarterbacks, because how much difference is there between Brady, Manning, Breeze? They've all won. They've won big in the postseason. I just think Rodgers has a few more physical tools than those other guys. I think he has a stronger arm. I think he's the more mobile guy out of all of them. So I'd put him in the top spot, but I had Watt number 2. I mean, Watt is as complete a defensive lineman, I think, as you can find.
You know what we ought to do? 10-10-XL, top 50 Jaguars.
Of all time.
No, current. On the current team, we all rank them.
This date in football history, presented by the best fence company in Jacksonville, and it's the reason Mark Long gets out of bed every morning. Ladies and gentlemen, this date in football history, going back in 1971, Troy Brown, former NFL wide receiver / cornerback, right? Nickel corner. I mean, he played a lot of corner towards the end of his career for the New England Patriots. You don't see guys making a position switch or at least playing that much on the opposite side of the ball in this day and age in the National Football League. We were talking a few minutes ago about on the break about the versatility of one Guy Whimper here in Jacksonville.
He has a touchdown reception.
He does, you consider what Belichick has always done. He's always found that guy. Mike Vrabel,
sure,
the linebacker who I want to say scored 5 or 6 touchdowns for the Patriots.
I think 2 in the Super Bowl, right?
Score 2 in the Super Bowl?
I know he scored 1 in the Super Bowl here in Jacksonville.
Is that right?
Against the Eagles.
Gosh, I can't recall that, and I was completely sober
2005. 2005,
right, January 2005.
According to this, he has 10 career touchdowns.
Wow.
How many in the postseason?
Doesn't shock me.
I'm not sure that this even includes postseason stuff, but yeah, he scored, 8 for New England, and he scored 2 for Kansas City.
So they continued the trend with the versatility. That was probably the Scott Pioli regime in Kansas City, I'm imagining, right? That later in his career, that took advantage because Pioli was in New England and saw the versatility there. But
I think I am correct on these.
Yeah, he's got two touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
Mark Long, ladies and gentlemen.
2004 He'll be here all week. And 2000.
And he scored against Carolina in 03.
03 and 04.
Is Belichick just a great coach because he can get the most out of his players? He can see something in them and use them? Or is he a guy that likes to show you how smart he is? Or is it just... It's always going to be some of both.
Yeah.
I do think there's some of that element. Like, who can we take and we can put him in this position? And who was the guy? It was Joe Klecko's kid, right? Who played for New England.
Dan Klecko. Yeah.
I think they tried to use him in the same role as Vrabel. I believe they used him kind of a goal line tight end type situation.
Wasn't it Belichick who had the Doug Flutie kick?
Yeah, the drop kick.
The drop kick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, dropping knowledge on you.
Of course.
I mean Belichick.
If you're Rich Kotite and you do that, you're a blithering idiot, okay? If you're Bill Belichick and you do that, well, you're the genius, and you can get away with anything. So
you're saying Troy Brown.
Troy Brown was a good wide receiver, but he played a lot. It wasn't like Vrabel. I get you put in at the goal line for a specific kind of play, and it's like a jump ball situation or a misdirection thing, and all you got to do is run 2 yards, turn around, catch the ball. Troy Brown had to play, defensive back, had to go cover guys in the slot, and did a pretty decent job of doing it.
Serviceable job.
Yeah, serviceable job. Who over the years, Guy Wimper aside, would you say would be the most versatile Jaguar? Was there a guy that got called on to do the most, or who would you imagine would be the most versatile guy that could have done the most things if given the opportunity to?
Well, Maurice would tell you Maurice.
Of course. Well, Maurice would always do.
He was a kick returner, a running back, and he could line up and play receiver.
There was an interception, watch 32, because 32 was going to put the shoulder pads into somebody if he could possibly get near the ball carrier.
Well, true. There's no question about that. But this team has a history of having quarterbacks, college quarterbacks, high school quarterbacks, playing, receiver, punt returner, this and the other. Cecil Shorts, obviously. Mike Brown, currently Denard Robinson, currently the tight end from Nebraska of Omaha. Hello, help
no,
me.
No, the one who used to be Zach Miller.
Zach Miller. I'm just talking about former guys.
Gotcha.
Zach Miller, Matt Jones obviously comes to mind, former Arkansas quarterback.
Oh, the Blizzard. He's got a
that you talk about former quarterbacks that play wide receiver, and I had done such a good job of blotting Matt Jones from my memory that I didn't even think of him until you mentioned him. What does that say about me?
Yeah, it says a lot. Because, that was a guy, if you remember, they tried to force feed Matt Jones in a quarterback role at the NFL level. Jack Del Rio, his first year, was like, they were rolling out Matt Jones and using him in pass plays, gadget plays from the similar to a Wildcat, but it wasn't the Wildcat back then.
Right. We got a taste of that in his very first game and never really got the full scope of that. And you watch Matt Jones in college, he'd run away from guys in the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, running away from guys. So just he was kind of like Kaepernick. Right, with that long stride, they could just eat up ground, and then, damn, man, what would it take to light a fire under him? I'm not saying he could have done that in the NFL, but it was like, you watch him play, and you didn't get an appreciation for how athletic he was in the National Football League because he never put it together. You watch that guy in the SEC, and you're like, man, I mean, I'm not saying that college translates directly to the NFL. Obviously, it doesn't, but speed should translate, you would think.
You know, he's a radio host now. Has his
is
own
he?
Show.
Is
back
that
in
right?
Arkansas. Yeah, I got his
show.
Well,
they love him in Arkansas.
Oh, they love him, yeah.
When he was here.
Supposedly clean and sober.
I did more Arkansas radio. In fact, I don't think I've ever done any Arkansas radio except when he was here. But Bo Mattingly is a big name in sports radio there, and we used to go on all the time. That's all they wanted to know about. How's Matt Jones? What's Matt Jones doing?
It's like Michigan with Denard Robinson right now. You can't tweet or write or say enough about Denard Robinson for the people in Michigan. There's a thirst there.
It's great for Denard. I mean, Matt comes in as a first round pick.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, my goodness. Now he was a dynamic player. There's no question in college he was dynamic. And I remember at the Senior Bowl, I believe he caught a touchdown.
Changed positions and caught a touchdown.
Right, caught a touchdown. But it was just like, you're like, oh, you're drooling because you got the 6'5 athlete that just looks like he'll be able to make this adjustment.
He looks the part, athletic.
Damn.
Yeah.
This date in 1994, by the way, Andres Escobar. I was proud of do you know who Andres Escobar is?
Is that the soccer player?
It is soccer player.
I saw the 30 for 30.
Right. The Colombian soccer player who was shot and murdered. After
own goal, right?
Was that scoring like was goal. He shot in the streets? How was that?
Yeah,
like just like by fans. I mean, or was it?
I thought it was in the streets.
Or
it
was
in the streets? There were a lot of people that were upset, but like the players when they got home from that World Cup were not only ashamed of not having gotten out of the group stage and how things went down and that own goal costing them an opportunity to get out of the group, but they were afraid. For their lives, so a lot of them were kind of staying inside, and you know, his family told him don't go out, and he decided to go out and was killed.
What a great world!
Yeah,
God bless the USA. I'll tell
you. Well, they went out
there. Seriously,
they went out there, took the field that day, having been told that we have your families held hostage. If you don't win this game, we're going to kill members of your family.
Were they really held hostage, or were they just told that? Do we not know?
We don't know. No family members that they at least reported were killed as a result of it. But look, at some point, if you're the people that are holding somebody's family hostage and you watch these guys that are as good as they were play as tight as they did, maybe you're the problem. Like, the pressure you're putting on these people.
I don't think you're thinking that way,
Tony. I mean, at some point, like, saying we're going to murder your family unless you win, am I supposed to play loose, inspired soccer after that?
I don't know. If the mass kidnappers are all of a sudden going to start thinking logically at that point in time.
Everyone is motivated differently. You never know.
That's true. Hey, what is our role in this whole thing here? So that's this date in football history. And it's brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission, to fabricate and install the highest quality product for you at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. If you'd like a professional free estimate at your convenience from the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville, call them today at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. We've got a brand new sponsor that has a tie into a brand new feature that we're going to do that's going to give you a chance to score tickets for the Jags home opener against the Indianapolis Colts. We'll give you the details coming up next. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, we got it. Should have gone with the instead. I went with the dog part of Doggy Dog World.
Congratulations.
Stuck with the world part, Tony.
World Cup, baby.
World Cup theme today.
It rolls on.
The Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day was about how much World Cup are you going to watch now that the U.S. is out, so I went with the World Cup theme.
That's fantastic, and that's good product placement and
thank you.
And promoting and all that good stuff. Welcome to Foundation Professionals of Florida, our newest sponsor on Jaguars today. What we're going to do with them, I think it's ties in beautifully with this burgeoning fan base. It's getting bigger by the day, but they feel that much like the foundation of your home is what the home is built upon, and if you don't have a good foundation, you can't have a strong home. They feel like the Jaguar fans are the foundation of the Jaguar franchise, so we want to highlight Jaguar fans every week, courtesy of Foundation Professionals of Florida. And we told you last week we're going to start it this week, and it's going to run through the end of next week. We want you to send us pictures. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren is the easiest way to do it, and to anyone or all three of those. We'll start a thread on the Facebook page, but you can post pictures on the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Jaguars today, or you can email me at MikeD@1010XL.com. And what we're looking for are pictures of a certain theme. Like one week it'll be Jaguar grandparents, Jaguar kids, Jaguar pets, whatever the case may be. This week the theme is Patriotic Jaguars in honor of July 4th, Independence Day. So you can take that to mean whatever you like, but Patriotic Jaguars is the theme. So one of those methods, tweet, Facebook, email, send a picture that you think defines Patriotic Jaguars, and the winner each week will go into a drawing. We're going to give away tickets to the home opener versus the Indianapolis Colts coming up. And then once we declare a winner for that, we'll move on to another game and do that throughout the course of the season. Foundation Professionals of Florida, if your home's foundation is letting you down, you know your home is your greatest investment. You want to protect it. The engineers and specialists at Foundation Professionals of Florida are your full-service foundation repair company. Let them give you the peace of mind that your home is safe. They'll work with your insurance company. Financing is available as well. Give them a call today at 287-2690 or log on to foundationprosfl.com. That's foundationprosfl.com. And send those pictures of patriotic Jaguars for a chance to go into the drawing for tickets to the season opener here in 2014. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Mark Long here with you, taking a further look at the top 100 rankings. I always feel obligated, Tony and I do, Mark, to point out every time we say anything about Pat Kirwan, to recognize in the spirit of full disclosure that when we're at the Super Bowl, right after, what, about a week, Tony, after they had hired Dave Caldwell, they had fired Gene Smith,
mm-hmm.
do the whole thing. You know, Kirwan does the Moving the Chain show, I believe it is, on Sirius XM NFL Radio.
We tried to bail him out.
We did. We tried to bail him out. Former GM of the Jets. He's been a front office insider. He's got a ton of connections around the league, and generally he's very plugged in and in tune to everything that's going on. And he was talking about the situation in Jacksonville. He goes, well, you know, Gene Smith's got a lot of work cut out for him. And we're like, of course they just, you know, and, it, you know, could have slipped his mind. Of course, you know, they just signed Dave Caldwell there from Atlanta now, Pat, and he goes, yeah, Gene and Dave will have to work close together.
Oh,
no, you didn't just destroy all your credibility. And now let's talk to Pat Kirwan about what's going on around the NFL now that you've got it set up so nobody thinks you know what you're talking about.
Pat was
about.
On vacation that week, apparently, right?
Yeah, it was a rough week. It was a rough appearance for Pat. But generally, I think he's a pretty sharp guy and on point with his opinions, and he's got great access to a lot of thinkers around the National Football League. He ranks Tom Brady at the top of the class. He ranks Adrian Peterson the fourth overall player in the NFL.
Quite different than Pete. Pete's got him number 19 behind LeSean McCoy and
Jamal Charles. So among running backs. And I think, you know, the argument is, how are you taking the guy? Are you taking him based on his performance last year? Or are you taking him, all right, presuming he's healthy to start the year? I guess that's how I'd look at it. If he were healthy right now, how would you rank? Because Aaron Rodgers, for instance, where's Pete have Aaron Rodgers ranked? I doubt he drops
two,
him down. He has
right?
him two, right? Yeah. So he loves Peyton Manning. He's going to have Peyton number one until he retires.
Until he dies.
I think
Peyton might be number one in retirement on Pete's
list.
He
may be.
Okay.
He may be until the Denver Broncos win a Super Bowl in the first year. Oh, wouldn't that be amazing, much like T. Martin at Tennessee, right? I mean, Peyton retires and the Broncos then win the Super Bowl with the same cast
of
characters.
With Brock Osweiler.
Osweiler. Goofy Brock.
He looks big and goofy. You can't.
He could probably play for the German soccer team.
You think so?
He's
got
goofy,
dual eligibility.
Big and goofy? I don't know.
Dual citizenship?
I don't even know if he's German. I'm just
he
saying.
He was a very
German. Like that.
Yeah.
It sounds, you know.
He, very impressive guy talking to him. You know, look, a lot of guys are impressive just talking to him. Doesn't mean they can play. But that aspect of it, of a guy that seems to really realize what a great situation he's in to be able to learn from Peyton Manning for the foreseeable future, at least, and then have it turned over to him. I mean, he is a big dude, man. He's all a 6'5". And if, you know, they spent, I believe, a second-round pick on him, the question will be, will his contract run out before Peyton Manning decides to hang it up, and how much value will they put on him as the future of that franchise? But just in terms of being a guy that you're like, wow, I could really see it. It's much like Blake Bortles. You know, Blake Bortles just has that quarterback aura about him.
Right.
You know, he's going to do well in an interview type situation. He's going to be an impressive individual. You got to be able to play on the field.
You know,
as well.
It's interesting that Osweiler never comes up in trade talks. Like when you look at Ryan Mallett with the
His
Patriots.
Name gets bandied about quite a bit,
yeah,
right?
It's 2 years straight where he's been the talk of trade rumors, and you never hear Osweiler.
And I wonder if it's in part because New England has gone down that road before, all right? They developed
Matt Castle
and then traded them off to Kansas City. Didn't they try to do that with somebody else? Who am I forgetting? Did they have another one that they brought along behind Brady? I want to say they did.
They had Hoyer for a while.
That's right. They had Hoyer. That's another guy who's, I wouldn't say made it big, but they've shown a bit of a knack for, you know, kind of like Green Bay back in the 90s when they had that depth chart with Favre and Brunell and Kurt Warner was at one point on that.
Yeah. Guys who moved on.
Wasn't there a fourth guy in there? It was like
another Favre backup?
Yeah, another Favre backup. either right in front of or right behind Burnell, but it would have been in front of Kurt Warner on the depth chart. I want to say there was back in the day, but
was Hasselbeck there for a while?
He
that
was.
That might have been it. That might have been it. It might
good
have been.
Call.
They might have had all of them. They might have had Favre, Hasselbeck, Burnell, and Warner on at least the 90-man roster at some point.
Wow.
We just decided, by the way, Mark decided we had a great idea. We're going to endeavor to do the all-time Jaguar top 50. And
well, I said current top 50. You took it to all-time.
Oh,
well,
it's a collaborative effort.
I like, yeah, so don't give me all the credit. I actually like current top 50.
I tell you what, how about this?
I think the current top 50 would be a lot of fun.
September 1st when they release the 53-man roster, and I'll leave three guys off. Carson Tinker, sorry, buddy, and one or two
wow.
the rest
a
of you.
A friend of the show, Carson
sorry,
Tinker.
Long snapper, not going to get it done. But I think we poll everybody at 1010XL. We poll all the local media that cover the Jags on a regular basis. And maybe we throw, you know, we include a few hardcore longtime fans in the conversation
sure.
as well. We
and some in-house guys here. I mean, John Osher for sure.
I would consider him part of the media.
Okay. But
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Osher.
Sexton.
Without question. All those kind of guys. And maybe come up with like 30 panelists. When it's all said and done, and do a composite all-time Jaguar top 50 and release the results as the season approaches, like 10 a week, something like that.
I like it.
I like it too.
Yeah.
That's good stuff right there. And it really goes to show you though what this franchise early success was predicated on as you kick around the names that are going to be in the top 10 and it starts with five or six guys on the offensive side of the football.
No question. And I think the top three will be very interesting. I think it can go any direction. I mean, as we talked during the break, there's going to be a lot of support for Boselli at number one. There's going to be a lot of support for Fred Taylor at number one. There's going to be a lot of support for Jimmy Smith at number one. And I don't know that you could go wrong with, you could make a case for any of the three. I think, you know, as we said, the numbers would say Jimmy is number one. I think your heart probably says Fred. And then, you know, really from a dominant standpoint at his position, it's Boselli.
I would put Boselli number one on the list. But I think you can, like you said, you can make a great case for those three guys. How many Jaguar players in total would get a first place vote? Burnell would get some first place votes. If you had enough people, let's say if you had a panel of 100.
I don't know that Burnell gets any first place votes with
maybe not with the media.
Well, okay.
If you had 100,
sure.
If you had 100 Jaguar fans, let's
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brunell's going to get some votes.
He's going to get a few.
Sure.
Maurice
will get votes.
Maurice as number one.
Yes.
There'll be
if you go wide enough and you get somebody young
probably.
Enough who didn't watch Brunell, knows very little of Fred Taylor, and certainly nothing of Boselli other than
now you're
his
really
TV.
Making me feel
well,
old.
I'm just saying.
They were just here.
There's going to be, you'll find somebody, if you cast a wide enough net, you'll find somebody who puts Maurice Jones-Drew atop that list. You'll
no knock on Maurice Jones-Drew, but I think it's a tough sell, and I'm not arguing, I'm not saying you're arguing for that point. It's a tough sell to argue that he's the best running back in this franchise's history.
No, no, no. Listen, and you, we talked off the air. I mean, I don't have any qualms about telling you. I'm putting Fred number one, and I'm putting Jimmy number two, and Tony number three. And call me crazy. I know Fred doesn't have the Pro Bowls of Tony and doesn't have the numbers of Jimmy, but to me, Fred's was one of the best, one of the greatest at not only in Jags history at his position. I just think he got really overlooked in the grand scheme of things, playing here in Jacksonville and some of the injuries and whatnot. And
I think all three of those guys, had they played for the right franchise in the right era, for instance, if Fred Taylor had come along a little bit earlier and he had played in Dallas with, you know, those guys that Emmitt Smith had, Fred Taylor had been able to be healthy. I mean, Fred Taylor would be talked about as one of the all-time greats, probably, yeah, in that regard. But Jimmy Smith, you pair up Jimmy Smith for his entire career with Tom Brady, for instance, or somebody like that, who knows what his numbers could be
right
in that regard. And, you know, Tony Boselli, I mean, Tony, that's why Tony, to me, is number one, because I think he was the best at his position or among the one or two best every year he played practically. And I don't know if he could have done any more. He might have had more success winning, although he won a lot here in Jacksonville. But if he played for a franchise that was perennially going to the Super Bowl, maybe he'd be recognized more. I think that's the only thing that keeps him out, because we've talked about who's the Miami offensive lineman that we brought up. Was it Dwight Stevenson, who's in the Hall of Fame, started less games.
Oh, Miami Dolphins, yeah.
Yeah. Started less games in the NFL.
Played on
than
the
Tony
72
Pizzoli
team,
did.
Yeah.
Was Dwight Stevenson on the 72 team?
I believe he was.
I want to say he was a little bit later than that.
Maybe
myself.
He was. All right, maybe
but,
he was.
But maybe he was.
Maybe he was. You would know.
I don't. Look, I'm no authority on the Miami Dolphins and who they had, except when they were beating down the Jets, like in '82. So we'll do that, and we'll give listeners a chance to weigh in on that as well. We'll maybe, I don't know if we'll have maybe a couple of panelists from that side of things, or we'll do a listener composite entry, something like that, or a fan composite entry, however you want to look at it. But I think it'd be fun to determine, as of now, who the 50 greatest with the 20th anniversary season on hand for us. So we'll do that. 641-1010 if you want to get in. Today's question of the day is, now that the United States men's national team is on the outs, is the World Cup over as far as you're concerned? How much more World Cup will you watch? We'll discuss that coming up and get some of your reaction on Twitter and Facebook as well, facebook.com/JaguarsToday. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long of the Associated Press, Fat Tony here with me. We're live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Ah, joy to the world. Took me a second there.
Yeah.
Joy to the world. Ah, there you go. World Cup fever, baby. Do you still have it? We'll get to that momentarily. A couple of other quarterbacks for the Green Bay Packers in that era were tweeted to us. One, Ty Detmer. I was trying to piece together at one point. I still think it's Hasselbeck. I think they had Favre, Hasselbeck. I think Burnell was the third. And at one point in the offseason, like on a 90-man roster type situation, the Packers had Kurt Warner, all four of those guys. I think it was Hasselbeck. Somebody also brought up Aaron Brooks, former Virginia quarterback, right? Back when Virginia, remember the year Virginia started like 7-0 and were ranked number one in the country?
I do not remember that.
Sometime he ended up playing as a starter for the New Orleans Saints for a while, and had a couple
when
of big years,
that?
As I recall. I want to say late 90s-ish.
That was when the Barbers were there, maybe?
Possibly. Yeah, something around that era. But Aaron Brooks was a Green Bay Packer or on the roster at one point in time. Don't know if he ever got into a game for him or anything like that. Green Bay, who would that have been back then? It wasn't Ted Thompson, who was the... Who was before Holmgren?
Hey,
who was the guy?
Was Holmgren.
Was it Holmgren calling the shots?
I think it
would have
been Holmgren, yeah.
Man, he had an eye for quarterbacks, didn't he? That's a lot of guys that played a lot of football in the National
really
Football
is.
League right there. I mean, Aaron Brooks was not chopped liver for a guy that I don't know where they drafted him. We'll find out here in a second. But Aaron Brooks, NFL.
He couldn't have been a first. He was a second-round pick at best. Right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. He wasn't super high, although he was a known commodity. Like, Kurt Warner is a complete unknown. You know, you could mine the waiver wire, so to speak, to find that guy.
Holmgren was with Green Bay from 92 to 98.
Fourth-round pick, Aaron Brooks.
Fourth-round pick. That's a pretty good hit,
yeah.
You know, considering he played at a decently high level for a couple of years in the league. You don't get too many hits in the fourth round. Nick Foles is a fourth round pick. Aaron Brooks played quite a bit of football. He had these years for New Orleans. Now, was he a...
Oh, yeah, New Orleans.
Was he was drafted by the Packers in the fourth round of the 99 draft. Rather would have had his career than Tim Couch's, that's for damn sure.
No doubt.
Same draft, Achilles Smith, all those guys. He threw for 3,800. 3,500, 3,500, and 3,800 yards in a four-year run with touchdown totals of passing TDs, 26, 27, 24, 21. Pretty damn good.
Yeah,
you would take that in fantasy football back then.
You absolutely would take that in fantasy football back then. You would take if you had that run here in Jacksonville, it would probably put you down as the greatest statistical quarterback in franchise history, right?
No question.
I mean,
I think David owns the touchdown record
for
20,
passing,
right?
Right. Was it for or total touchdowns?
I think David holds the single season touchdown record.
Passing. Yeah, because Burnell, I want to say, he never threw for 20.
More than I think he threw for 18 or 19 was his
right.
Top,
and, but
yeah.
But with running included, he might have capped out around 22, something okay. Like that. He did have a 4,300 yard season in '96 back in the day. That was slinging it around.
That is slinging it around. It's still slinging it around today.
It's still pretty good now. Yeah. It's still pretty good now.
4,000 yards passing is nothing.
I mean, the league in nearly 20 years now, you know, Stafford, Breeze, those guys are throwing for $5,000 yep. almost every year, the last right. several years. So,
if you start all 16 games nowadays, you better throw 4,000.
Was Holmgren, I want to say there was a GM there. Oh, it was Ron Wolf, right?
Yeah.
When Ron Wolf was a GM in Green Bay. They worked together.
Yeah.
But I think Wolf is the guy who was the quarterback finder for the Packers back in the 90s. Regardless, today, your Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight asks you, with the United States men's national team on the outs, what does that mean for your World Cup viewing? Tony, I thought it fascinating. Sampling. They covered the spectrum on Twitter today.
From Sean, we got none. Now with having a broken heart, got to keep my distance. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag shut up, Randy.
Love that.
Hashtag shut up, Vandy.
Love
from
that too.
Stevie at Irish Jaguar. All of it. I'm European. It's required. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Brian, hashtag Jaguars today, the rest of it, but I'm a lifelong soccer fan, then focus on the Gold Cup next year. Yeah, baby. Go USA.
Gold Cup.
From Matt, I'll watch the highlights on SportsCenter. Even that's a little much. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Duval Doom, we got, I'll continue watching, but I'm looking forward to Fulham later this month and when the championship starts, as well as Jacksonville Armada next year. More. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Mike Nunn, bring on Jaguars football. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Kevin, you mean they're still playing? Hashtag Jaguars today. And finally from Ocho Ficho, all of it, especially since Costa Rica is still in it. Hashtag Vamos Ticos. Hashtag Costa Rica. CONCACAF Thunder, baby.
I think Ocho Ficho has some Costa Rican heritage. As Mike Tirico will tell you, the island nation of Costa Rica. Only problem with that, it's not an island, okay? It's like right there in the Central American little peninsula, whatever. But
beautiful country. Have you been?
I have been, actually, to Costa Rica. I'm not much of a world traveler whatsoever. What brought you to Costa Rica? The surfing?
I even go there. Bachelor party.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Was it?
I don't think I can talk about this thing on the air.
All right.
Or off the air, but it was quite a bachelor party. I mean, if anybody's been to Costa Rica, you can imagine that it was quite a bachelor party.
Did you go ziplining?
What's that, Lauren?
Did he go ziplining?
No ziplining. Played golf. Went to the beach.
I played golf in Costa Rica. As well.
We'll see. Would you remember if you did?
Yes, absolutely.
As far as you know, yeah. You go ziplining.
We had 12 guys in a house.
That's fun.
Yeah, no, a huge house.
What did it cost you to fly there? Do you remember?
About $400.
Not too bad.
No, it's not a bad flight.
No, I told this more than once on the air, but Bet on Sports. Remember that outfit?
Yes, absolutely.
They used to spend a ton of money on radio advertising when it was legal. Then they ruled it was illegal, and I remember Sporting News Radio almost went bankrupt. May have over this issue because they were so in bed with Bet on Sports, but. I was their endorser in Jacksonville, in the Jacksonville market, and they did a swimsuit contest. They always had, you know, each station had their own, quote-unquote, swimsuit model to represent them. So there was a girl from Jacksonville who was a bikini model, and they had a vote, and the top 12 got to go to Costa Rica, and they got to go with the radio host. So check this out. I have no idea this is even ongoing, and, like, it's Wednesday. And they call up and they're like, we want to send you to Costa Rica this weekend with such and such model. And I'm like, do you now? And now I'm married at the time. And then they come back and they go, well, we found out such, I can't remember the girl's name. She has a Maxim shoot this weekend that it's a paying gig and she doesn't want to give it up. Would you like to take your wife instead? And I'm like, yes, I'm off the hook.
Win-win.
So it was me, 11 other radio dudes, all accompanied by some swimsuit model, and, you know, much happier to have my wife along with me than that situation. That would have been terrible. So they flew us to Costa Rica on Friday and flew us back on Sunday, and they spent about $1 million throwing just a part because they were just rolling in the illicit dough in Costa Rica back in the day. And pretty fascinating stuff. So I've been to Costa Rica. I've been to Jamaica. And I'll go to England this year, but not too much on the world travel and stuff. Never been to Canada, never been to Mexico. I think that's it, Jamaica, Costa Rica. That's my
You're missing out.
I guess so. On Facebook, Eric Pez Rock Sutton said he'll watch all of it. Carlos Marina says he'll watch the semis and the final. Mike Brooks, every minute of every match, hashtag Jaguars today.
That's
Joel,
my dad.
Joel Swan. Oh, is that your dad, Mike?
That's my dad.
How did I not put two and two together?
I don't know. Brooks. You called him a serial killer.
Well, that, just the movie portrayed him as a serial killer.
It was on this weekend.
By the way?
I have not.
Was it on this weekend?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I'm sorry.
The weirdest of channels. I was flipping through the channels. It was on Lifetime.
Wow.
Mr. Brooks.
That is weird.
Yeah.
That it would be on Lifetime. It's a great Kevin Costner as a serial killer, which, I mean, it's so outside what Kevin Costner typically
does. Did you just, spoiler alert, like, is he?
No, you know he's a serial killer from the beginning. He's a serial killer. You know it from one of the very first scenes kind of thing. What else? This from Chris Brown. Psh. None. Are you kidding? I can't wait. Kevin Tappy says, are you kidding? I can't wait to see the Germans rip the French. Oh, and I also want to see if the Cinderella Los Ticos have what it take to beat the Dutch.
CONCACAF Thunder!
There you go. And so back and forth it goes. Some of it, none of it, all of it. Mostly it's all or nothing, though, as far as that goes.
It really is.
I'm more on the nothing side. And that's why I don't hate soccer. You know what? I'm not trying to bash soccer. You enjoy it. Fine. Enjoy
Which is it. Where the dividing lines are. There are people who like soccer who are going to continue to watch the World Cup, and the people who like USA are done with the tournament. And that's fine. Those are the dividing lines in soccer in this country, have been forever and probably will continue to be.
Right. By the way, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships presents the Fan Feedback Spotlight on a daily basis, and the family of dealerships includes Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Mini. You can visit TomBush.com for more information when you're in the market for your next new or pre-owned vehicle. Follow them on Twitter as well, at Tom Bush Motors. Some final thoughts, taking a look at some of these top 100 lists. Obviously, quarterbacks, I think, shoot up these lists by the nature of the position, but at the same time, they are the most important position in the National Football League. Here's some of the guys that cracked the top 10 who were non-quarterbacks. For Pat Kerwin, he had Adrian Peterson at number 4, top non-quarterback on his list. Luke Kuechly, who everybody knows is one of the, if not the top interior linebacker in the National Football League. Patrick Peterson, we mentioned, both he and Pete Prisco had Peterson rated higher than Richard Sherman. Jimmy Graham, he says, call him a tight end or a wide receiver. He's just a beast. I don't argue. I mean, Jimmy Graham's a difference maker. There's no question about it. By
no
the way,
question.
His ruling is supposed to come down tomorrow.
Yep.
As to whether for the franchise tag he's going to be designated a wide receiver or a tight end, then whoever loses will appeal the process. But ultimately, if you're a fantasy football player, you want to keep your eye on this because, honestly, it shouldn't matter to you if Jimmy Graham makes $7 million or $12 million this year. But if the league rules that he's a wide receiver for purposes of the CBA and purposes of the franchise tag,
he needs to be listed as a wide receiver on the roster and for your fantasy team. You got to draft him as a receiver.
I just wonder. I mean, I believe, you know, sources like My Fantasy League, which, you know, the software that runs a lot of leagues, will have to list him that. What would the argument be for not listing him that way? I don't know. Every year guys change positions, but typically it's not premium offensive skill guys that are being listed at different positions.
Right. Well, it goes Denard Robinson. What is he? He's listed at?
He's a running back now.
What's he listed at?
Should be listed as a running back. He was listed as in fantasy, he was listed as a running back last year, even though he's the offensive weapon.
He is not a running back. He's listed as a receiver.
No. By whom?
By the Jags in the NFL.
Are you sure about that?
Positive.
You're positive about
that? Positive. Look it up. Listen, he wears number 16. He cannot, by definition, be a running back wearing number 16. So he has to either be a quarterback or a receiver. So he's listed at receiver.
But haven't they come out and said
he's a running back?
He is a running back.
Correct.
So outside of the number that he wears,
correct.
Should it matter what number he wears?
Okay, but my point is, if he's on the Jags roster and in the NFL.com as a receiver, don't you think that the fantasy people will make you draft him as a receiver?
It's a good point. I'm still debating. I'm waiting for
you don't trust
for
me.
My slow internet to come
you
up.
You don't
on this
trust
one.
Me.
I need confirmation.
I know. I know you
one.
Need confirmation.
On the Jaguars official site, Tony. Do you have it up in front of you?
Nope, but I can go there now.
I got it. I'm endeavoring to get there right now.
I can't believe the lack
man,
of.
You are right, man.
I cannot believe the lack of respect I get in this room.
You're usually wrong about the Miami Dolphins.
I was wrong about Dwight Stevenson.
Dwight Stevenson! You're like a decade
That's 100%
off.
Of the time Damn. Today you've been wrong about the Dolphins.
Didn't another one come up a few weeks ago? I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
okay. You're right. He's listed as a wide receiver. That's a good point. He doesn't have enough fantasy impact to, you know, you can list him at whatever you like.
Nobody's so now what if the NFL him. Came down and said, okay, he's a running back. He's clearly a running back. Now
he clearly is a running back.
Then he has to change his number. And now what would happen with his number? See, you can't. At this point, I don't know that they can change his number, but he has to be designated a receiver for number purposes.
Right. Well, I mean, they designated him. They gave him that number because he was on the the offensive weapon. I guess he could have gone either way when they gave him the number, and they could justify it. I'll tell you, fantasy software listed him as a running back last year. It didn't matter because he was Denard Robinson. He wasn't touching the football.
Right.
It will matter significantly if Jimmy Graham has his position switched.
Oh, no question.
It'll be huge. Big doings as far as that goes. All right, Mark Long, for you, World Cup today. Do we have World Cup today?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do we have today?
Nothing today.
Wrong again.
Just say it emphatically.
Wrong again.
Absolutely.
Wait, there's no World Cup today?
The quarterfinals start again on Friday.
Oh.
So you got 2 days without soccer here.
That is brutal.
Yeah.
Brazil, Colombia Friday, and France, Germany.
Hit the links.
On Friday.
That's the plan for the next couple days. I'm taking tomorrow off, by the way. It's Fat Tony and Ryan O'Halloran.
Yep.
In these very studios, along with Joe Fortunato and Lauren Brooks in the Jaguars today.
Why are you taking off July 3rd?
Making a four-day weekend.
Because he's got the 4th off.
We're all off on the 4th. Everybody's off on the 4th.
Speak for yourself.
So some
That's
of us
right.
are...
Lauren's doing a show. On
Lauren, tell us about the show that you're doing on Friday, by
it's
the way.
It's going to be fun and exciting and hardcore for 3.5 hours.
You and Manzi?
It'll be Scott Manzi and Andrew Gibson and myself.
Oh, Agent Gibbs. Very nice.
What is the show going to be based on?
Whatever we feel like at the time, but we'll do a lot of absolutely.
Passion.
We'll do a lot of
history.
Oh, I thought you said passion.
History. I'm going through different.
History.
I
thought you said passion.
Entertainment.
It's a sports show.
Passion.
Sports.
All right.
Goodness
That's
gracious.
My question. I don't know.
Well, do we have a lot of fashion shows?
You
on
could.
Fantanex?
If you were going to have a fashion show, I would not be the person to talk to.
I would.
I think we should do a Jaguar Media Fashion Top 10. Worst dressed media.
I like it.
Vito tops the list.
Tops the list?
With his swim shirt and his floppy hat.
Unquestionably.
No,
I've gone to the floppy hat myself now. Because,
floppy hat's good for the ears.
Well, it's good for the neck. I don't need any more of the melanoma on the neck. But O'Halloran with those shower shoes, man. That's got to rank him somewhere in the top five. All right, Mark Long from the Associated Press. Have a good week, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. I'm headed down to Daytona today.
Awesome.
I got
getting ready for the Coke Zero
NASCAR Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
We'll listen for you. I would imagine we'll probably hear you pop up on primetime or something tomorrow.
Maybe. I don't know. Possibly. Maybe not. Possibly. You know, Joe Cowart. Yeah, might get a.
You have to listen and find out, won't
Joe,
you?
Joe, I've become a Tuesday guy.
I know. I heard you yesterday.
So it's hard for, you know, I don't know. Is there such a thing as too much Mark Long?
I don't think so. I haven't reached my limit yet. Wednesday's brought to you by Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial, you name it. Same day service, Saturday and Sunday included. Log on to MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911. That'll do it for us. For Mark Long, for Fat Tony, for Joe Fortunato, and for Lauren Brooks, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars today wrapping up. XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.